And Krishna has to be approached in the right way. He doesn't have to be present. He comes when he's pleased. But there's certain practical things that helps to inspire our devotion. We can assume we have devotion. Let's assume everyone has devotion. And that's a good assumption. But what the practical aspects are, how to bring that devotion in a very systematic way, in the way we organize our practice of Krishna consciousness. And that's important too. It's like if you have preachers but you have no managers, it's not so good. Because, you know, there's a lot of preaching but nothing gets organized. So you need organization along with philosophy. Just like if I tell you, if you come to me and say, give me a glass of milk, and I say, there's the cow. It's not going to be very inspiring. But if the milk is already here, it's warmed and it's, you know, sweet, and I give it to you, it's perfect. So organization in bringing about the quality of our devotion is fundamental to the practice of Krishna consciousness. Both are required. So we begin. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimakti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namaste.
Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prasthaya Nirvishishishvashyumyavani Prasthaya Pujaya Satayane
Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastani Gaur Bhaktavinda
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
In the first verse of Lord Chaitanya's Kshastikam prayers, and Lord Chaitanya spoke these prayers, and then he later wrote them down. In fact, they say that's the only thing that Lord Chaitanya wrote, was these eight prayers called Shik Shastika. Shik means instructions, Astika means eight. Eight instructions that govern the essential practice of bhakti. Practically, there's no philosophy outside of those eight verses. And they pretty much center around the holy name. How many of you are not familiar with the Shikshastika prayers? Everyone? Those prayers, the first verse, which we'll go through the first verse. Chetal Darpana Marjanam Bhava Mahadevagni Nirvapanam Shreya Kaiva Vichandrika Vitaranam Vidya Vatu Jivanam Anandam Bhudi Vardhanam Patipadam Purnam Rita Swardhanam Sarvatma Snapanam Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. So Lord Chaitanya is speaking what is the seven most essential benefits that one receives from chanting. They are cleansing the mind and the heart of material contamination, material desires. Two, I'll list them real quick. It pushes back the difficulties of material energy. In other words, it frees us from material suffering. Three, it awakens our good fortune and brings us in contact with our eternal relationship with God, or Krishna. Four, it's an unlimited... that's number five. Four is that it brings realization of transcendental knowledge. Five, it is an unlimited ocean of transcendental happiness. Six, it teaches us our eternal relationship with Krishna in a very deep way. In other words, it tells us who we are in a spiritual world. What is our relationship with Krishna in a very practical sense. And number eight, everything's there. Inside, outside is completely pure. Nothing is needed. Your whole life becomes, what we say, purified through the chanting of the holy. In other words, you don't have to do anything else for purification. So these eight benedictions are mentioned. Then Lord Chaitanya in the next verse says there's no rules, no regulations, no requirements. Everything is there. Just chant Hare Krishna. And he goes on to say, there's hundreds, millions of names like Krishna and Govinda. And anyone can chant any time, any place. And then he's in the mood of a practicing sadhaka. And he says, but after all this, no attraction. I have no attraction. So then he explains why there's no attraction. Because I'm not chanting properly. I'm chanting with offense. And then in the next verse he teaches us how to approach the holy name. With humility, patience, tolerance, pridelessness, and respect for all other living beings. And he says when you chant like that, or you chant in that mood, you're actually, you can approach the holy name. He says, Kirtaniya Sada. Sada means always. Kirtan, one can chant always Hare Krishna when one practices these qualities. Humility, tolerance, respect for others, and not expecting respect for oneself. Then one can chant Hare Krishna. At least one is in the proper mood. So these are the first three verses, which center around pretty much the practice of chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So, in applying some of these principles in the day-to-day life, we have to realize that it's not easy to chant Hare Krishna. Because really, you're asking Krishna to be present. And Krishna's name is Krishna. It's not like it's some people, just like when some people come into the temple, they think, the deity. I see the deity and I think it's just stone or wood or some, you know, material metals or something. Or that's a materialistic view. A little better than that is one is thinking, well, the deity is a representative of Krishna. It's not really Krishna, but it's just a representative. But the ultimate understanding of the deity is the deity is Krishna, no different. Krishna has come in the form of the deity. The same Krishna in the spiritual world is here in the form of the deity. So the name is the same way. We can think the name is five letters, K-R-S-N-A, or we can think it's a representative of God. But actually, the complete and perfect understanding of the name is it is non-different than the Lord. And not only is it non-different, it's more merciful than God. Now, who could be more merciful than God? But God has given more mercy in the form of his name than in any other aspect of himself. If you commit offenses against the Lord, you can be relieved from those offenses by chanting the name. So that's how merciful the name is. So to approach the name, one has to approach in the right way. But let's get into a practical sense of the term. So I'm basing my talk on, now we'll get into the talk itself. I'm basing this on what is called techniques for chanting based on the Shukshastika prayers, one book written by Gauri Jan Prabhu, in which he explains that there's nine stages, or nine keys, he calls them keys, how to approach the Lord name. And the first key, he says, chant Hare Krishna. That's it. So you might say, well, what does that mean? That's what we're talking about, chanting Hare Krishna. But chant Hare Krishna means regularly. So the idea is, the essence of all spiritual practices, or the culminations of all spiritual practice, is to help us come in contact with Krishna always. That's what this movement is about, to bring our consciousness in connection with our eternal relationship with God 24 hours a day. And that's a process. But the process begins, develops, and expands itself on the chanting of the holy name. So by chanting regularly, we can chant always. At the point, if you're thinking, I want to remember Krishna all the time, but I'm not practicing regular chanting, that'll be impossible. So regular chanting helps us to come to the stage of always chanting. And this was a statement by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Always remembering Krishna means regularly practicing remembering of Krishna. There's a practice to it. So the first thing is chant Hare Krishna. Now, in the second verse, as we were explaining, the Lord says that I commit offenses. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, okay, where do you put your attention? How do you develop, how do you overcome this offensive chanting? He says, practice attentive chanting. So here's the key. You might think, where can I improve in my spiritual life? There's a lot of things I can think of. You know, I might want to take more time for reading and studying, or try to work on my relationships with other devotees or just people in general, or be more punctual in whatever I do. We can think of so many things how we can improve in our spiritual practice. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, here's where you can get a lot of improvement. Work on attentive chanting. Mm-hmm. This is the key to all other, what we say, developments in any other aspect. Because by attentive chanting, everything else follows. That's an experience. So, inattention causes one to commit offenses. And attention diminishes the opportunity for offenses. It diminishes the possibility of committing offenses. Just like there's 10 offenses against the holy name. We recite them every day in class. They're in nectar devotion, they're in Srimad Bhagavatam, they're in the Padma Purana. But in those 10 offenses, sometimes we say, and the 11th offense is to chant without, with attention. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that by following the 11th, you decrease the opportunity of committing offenses. So inattentive chanting. And there's no, well, what is inattentive chanting? There's three kinds. There is, it's called vikshepa, audakshina, and jadya. These are the Sanskrit terms. Vikshepa means distraction. I get distracted by other thoughts or by things that are going on around me. The thoughts come into the mind and one starts to dwell on them, think about them, what am I going to do later, what I did yesterday. It's interesting. Sometimes, and this is an experience practically everyone has, they think, well, you know, I can control my mind, but then when you start chanting, then you realize you can't. It's like that. Because when you really try to control it, then it doesn't want to get controlled. You think in your day-to-day life you're controlling your mind, but when you really try to start to chant, then you realize how uncontrolled your mind is. It's just like, you know, if you have a dog, and he's a little wild, you give him a backyard, he can run around it and just run all over. But if you put him on a leash, he's going to get more wild. So when we try to really bring our consciousness into the meditation of the sound of Krishna's name, then the mind becomes really rebellious. Doesn't want to do it. Who are you to control me? I'm in charge. That's what it's saying. So, don't be alarmed by that. It's natural. Everyone goes through that. As soon as you try to control it, it becomes more difficult to control. And that's the nature of the mind. The mind is restless. It's called chanchala. Chanchala hi mana krishna prabhati balava dridha tasyaham nigamam manye vayor idam sudhuskaram. Krishna, not Krishna, but Arjuna is speaking. He says, Krishna, you're asking me to control the mind. I think it's easier to control the wind. He says, the mind is restless, turbulent, difficult to control, very unsteady. I think you're asking me to control the wind. Krishna says, you're right. The next verse he says, yes. He says, abhasena tukuntaya vairagya. Vairagya chagrihate. That by constant practice and detachment from those things that cause the mind to become disturbed, or what we say, material sense gratification, one can practice mind control. So as we're chanting, we're also trying to diminish what we say. But let's talk about the practice itself. So when the mind wanders, bring it back. That's all. Now, Prabhupada mentions two things in terms of how you should chant. He mentions two aspects. He says, just hear. Focus on the process of hearing. When one devotee said, Prabhupada, you know, I'm trying to control my mind when chanting and I can't do it. It's very difficult. Prabhupada said, what is this mind? He said, just hear. Forget about the mind. And that's what we have to learn to do. Forget that he's there giving us all kinds of signals. Just hear. So work on the process of just bringing your mind back to the hearing process. And so. And the second thing that Prabhupada used to speak about a lot, he said one has to chant in a condition of helplessness. Begging for the mercy of the Lord. In other words, one cannot conquer the holy name simply by one's determined effort. Because, you know, Krishna's in his name. And you're not going to capture Krishna simply by your determination. Krishna comes by when he's pleased. And if we're in a prayerful, in a mood of submission, when we chant, Krishna is more inclined to appear in the form of his name. So that mood has to be there. Therefore, Prabhupada said, chant like a baby crying for its mother. They chant for a baby. In other words, the baby only knows the mother. If you give that same baby to another person, the baby will continue to cry. But once it comes back to the mother, then the baby is feeling safe and secure. So in that mood of chanting, it's important to chant in that mood. Now, we don't recommend you make a display of crying. But in your heart, or in your mind, you should feel helpless. That's the process. That we're begging for the mercy of the Holy Name. And we're also accessing attention, we're trying to hear. When the mind wanders, bring it back. I'm going to teach you, we're going to try to teach you a practice that will help you bring back your mind. If you follow this formula, it works. But you have to follow it. It's simple. It's so simple that the mind doesn't like it. We'll get to that. So that's the first thing, inattention. It's going everywhere. First of all, when you recognize the mind is away from the mantra, or trying to solve some, you know, economic problem, or some whatever problem it's trying to solve, or whatever it's thinking about. You know how the mind works? It's just really tricky. It's like, you know, I could see somebody's color And then I'll see somebody, he's wearing red over there. So I'll think, oh, he's wearing red. And then I'll think of, well, what I have that's red, and what I did with it, and what was the one that I bought it, and then who did I buy it from? And then, you know, could go all the way back. And that's the mind. As soon as you pick on one little thing, it associates with something else. And pretty soon you may be where you don't want to be. So as soon as the mind goes off, bring it back to the sound of the name. And we'll teach you how to keep it on that sound also. So that's the first. It's called Vikshepa, means inattention. The second thing is Audakshina. Audakshina means, it really means apathy. No enthusiasm for chanting. Okay, I got 16 rounds, I'll chant. But it's like a ho-hum process. Oh, yeah, okay. I'm chanting, but I'm really not into it. I'm just doing it. Lackadaisical, apathetic, just waiting to get finished, somehow or other just going through the motions. No real devotion, but just, it's called mechanical chanting. Very mechanical. Mind cannot focus on that. We call it apathy. This chanting of the rounds of our japa practically is the most important part of the day. It is. It is. Because all your spiritual advancement really is situated on the quality of your chanting. So if you were to think, well, what's the most important part of the day? For a devotee, it's chanting Hare Krishna. So that time should be the most sacred time. The most, what we say, focused time. No other activity. I mean, if you have service at that time, then you chant at another time where you can concentrate. Because we're talking about meditation. It's not just making some sounds. This is meditation. We want to go deep into the chanting of the holy, not just stay on the surface and simply sound the words, you know. But go deeper. So going deeper means to be enthusiastic about the quality, about chanting. We should be eager. We shouldn't think, oh no. Oh man, I chanted 16 rounds yesterday. I got to start from zero again today. Oh no. And tomorrow's another day like this. Oh God. Jeez, you know, it's just painful, right? 14 round chanting. Krishna, save me. When will this be over? If it's like that, you're not going to get anywhere. We have to really look forward to chanting and thank Krishna, to be grateful for the opportunity to chant and chant as if it was our life and soul. Really. That's the mood for chanting. Okay, so apathy, we don't want that. Especially in japa. And the last one is called jadya. Jadya means sleep. Sometimes you get sleepy. Give you a scientific explanation of chanting. If you're a little tired when you're chanting, and you start hearing nicely, the mind slows down, because the brain waves, when in meditation, the brain waves are slower. And the more you become meditative, the more the brain waves slow down. But the sleep state is also a very slow state of brain waves too. So the meditative state and the sleep state are very much connected to each other. The only difference is one time you're awake and the other time you're not. So if you're tired and you start hearing nicely, you can also start to get a little drowsy and fall asleep. So be careful. If you're tired, walk around, put some water on your eyes, stay awake. Or if you're too tired, as Bhakti Vinod Thakur explains, you can't chant properly. He says, take rest, chant later. Because sleepy japa is pretty useless. call it dive bomber japa. You know what dive bomber japa is? There's three kinds of ajapa. You know what ajapa is? Japa, but it's not japa. One's called radar japa. You know what radar japa is? Radar japa means you just check out everything in the room. You don't miss anything. Who's coming in, who's going out, what's going on. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Rama. Oh, she's wearing that same sari again. Hare Krishna, 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 Rama, 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 Rama. Who's that over there? I think I know. Hare Krishna, 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 Krishna. That's called radar japa. And then you got jibber japa. You know what jibber japa is?
What is it?
Jibber.
Yeah.
Jibber means, hey, how you doing? Hare Krishna, yeah, really, wow, you got a job, great. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Krishna. How's the wife? Pretty good, yeah, really. She's pregnant, oh, that's right. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Oh, well, nice to see you, Hare Krishna. Nice talking to you, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Nice chicken, too.
Chicken Java. That one you're lucky to avoid, too. And then the last one is Dai Bomber Java, you know, like, okay, it's tough today. It's called Dive Bomber Japa. I actually saw one person who was chanting japa and while he was standing. So don't get too sleepy. It can become pretty embarrassing. The old days in New Vrindavan, it was just like that. You just Dai Bomber Japa was the prominent one. Devotees are tired sometimes, but get enough rest. That's important. And chant nicely. Okay, so those three. Audakshina, Vikshepa, Jadya, avoidum. Now, we go on to the next thing. And that is, here's a way. Now, the second key, first key is Janari Krishna. The second key is, listen to one mantra. Not one round, one mantra. Just hear one mantra. Carefully chant when you hear one mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yeah. Now, when I start, how many of you came in on the first Hare Krishna? Not everybody. Some of you came on a little later. That's the nature of the mind. It's a little, you have to catch it. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So while you're chanting, first of all, the idea is to slow down. One of the things you must carefully and completely avoid is the idea that I have to finish my rounds. Get that out of your mind, because that will cause you to go too fast. The mind will try to move fast going through the rounds rather than really concentrating on the sound. See, the mind is got its own program. It's called conditioned mind. We're trying to get the mind to cooperate with us, the soul. And so one of the things is slowing it down. So this one mantra formula helps us to focus. And you might think, well, if I do that, it's going to take a long time to chant. Better to chant a little longer, but here, than rather than try to just, well, I finished my rounds. How long did it take? It took me 1 hour and 10 minutes. Did you hear anything? I think so. No, it's not like that. It's not about finishing your rounds, as One great devotee in our movement said, if you're thinking I'll get my rounds done, you'll get your rounds done, but that's all. You won't get very much from chanting, and that's not the idea. The idea is to meet Krishna in the mantra. So this one mantra formula helps us to concentrate. So practice that. Just slow your mind. Now, while you're chanting, if you find yourself going off, or your mind is going off, bring it back to the one mantra formula. It works. It's amazing. We'll practice it tomorrow when we do the 32 rounds. As soon as it goes out, bring it back, slow it down, and hear one mantra. Now, even if one mantra is too much for you to concentrate on, hear half a mantra. Or hear one name. Just hear. That's the idea. And the hearing process brings the mind in connection, the soul in connection with the sound. And in that, and by doing that, then what we say, the speed naturally increases. You can go fast without hearing, or you can just skim the surface of the sound. You think you're hearing, but you're really not. You're just hearing something. But to really hear means to go deep into that sound of Krishna's name. Krishna's name is unlimitedly deep. So this slowing the mind down allows us to get away from this mind that wants to finish. It's already on the Ramas and we're enchanting on the Krishnas. It's always going fast. It's moving forward. It wants to finish. It wants to do something else. The mind does not want to chant. That's not its nature. Because the mind, it has other programs. That's the nature of the mind. It's filled with desires. So, practice this. The idea is to give your mind something easy. If you tell your mind, I got 16 rounds to do, your mind's going to freak out. If you tell your mind, just chant one mantra, oh, I can do that, then you've got it. That's all. You're actually tricking your mind into a very simple practice. And by doing that, the mind actually agrees. Okay, I'll just hear one mantra. Not two mantras, one mantra. And then after you hear that mantra, and then you hear the next one. One mantra, not five mantras or 10 mantras or 5 rounds or 16. One mantra. As you catch the sound through this process of one mantra, then gradually you can gradually pick up your speed. It's a whole different experience in chanting. This job is not a race. I know sometimes we have temple responsibilities. We live in the temple, those of you who live in the temple. And you have other services, you have so much time for chanting. But still, work on quality. If you want to become Krishna conscious, you really have to slow your mind down and hear nicely. That's what it's all about, really. So, listen to one mantra. That's the second key. The third key is very important. The third key is state your determination. Why are you chanting? You want a personal relationship with Krishna, right? That's what it's really about, to develop our relationship with God through the sound, to come in contact with Krishna through the sound. It's not I'm chanting because I have to, I'm chanting because I got nothing else to do. You have to state your reason why. You do this every day, and not only every day, but why you're chanting. Why am I chanting? State your determination. And then bring it back to the one mantra formula. I'm chanting to hear. I'm chanting to come in contact with Krishna through the sound of his name. So practice this one mantra formula. It says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Adi Lila, chapter 8, verse number 16, that one can chant Hare Krishna for millions of births, and if they're infested with offenses, they never get the results of that chanting. which is love of God. Love of God comes by way of the holy name. And with chanting with offense means one is depriving themselves of that greatest of all treasure, Krishna's personal association. So slow down. Just hear one mantra. And then hear the next mantra. And then as your mind picks up the sound, the speed will increase naturally. You don't have to kind of like try to push it forward. It will happen. The mind has to get connected to the sound. So just practice that one mantra formula. And state your determination. It's important. This is important to state our determination while we're chanting. Otherwise, the mind will start thinking about other things and give that more importance. When it does that, then you say, no, that's not why I'm chanting. I'm chanting to meet Krishna, to purify my heart, to develop my love for Krishna. Like that. Okay, that's the third. Fourth is from wherever the mind wanders, bring it back. Determination to capture the wandering mind. Bring it back to that one mantra for you. When you see the mind going off, bring it back to the one mantra formula. Bring it back again. Make sense? You follow that principle? Simple, right? It's too simple. But that's what the mind needs. It doesn't want to hear, I got to chant 16 rounds. It doesn't want to chant here that I have to chant. It wants something simple. Just hear one mantra. Practice that. And the mind is going to wander. It's called chanchala. Bring it back. Bring it back to one mantra. Bring it back. Just keep bringing it back. Never get discouraged if the mind keeps wandering. Just keep bringing it back. That's all. It will wander. That's its nature. The mind is flickering. It goes from one thing to another. That's the fourth one. And that's the nature of the mind. Krishna says that in Gita. Wherever and whenever the mind wanders, due to its unflickering and steady nature, bring it back under the control of the self. So that means bring it back to the hearing process. Just practice. Practice, practice, practice. And as we develop this, what we say, formula for hearing nicely, then when we hear classes or when we read, we'll get much more out of that. Because the mind will be able to focus more. Life is about focus. People have so many things going on in today's world that it's hard to focus. That's why, you know, we might say their minds are everywhere at the same time. Just like I'm talking now, some of you are thinking about other things. But that's natural. That's the nature of the mind. It just likes to go somewhere else. But focus is life. If you want to become successful in life, have focus on whatever you're doing. You live within the moment. That's the idea of that one mantra. That one mantra connects us with the moment so completely that really there's nothing outside of that moment. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Wasn't that nice? Krishna's name is really nice. So one man is chanting like that, he dies. And he wakes up. And he says, he sees two men there. He says, who are you? He says, this is Snicka. I'm Snicka. And this is Room. We've been chanting our name. So it's Krishna. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And so That's also very important. Srila Prabhupada mentions Chaitanya Charitamrita in the Adilila 17th chapter. And once you pronounce the mantra clearly, avoiding the hissing sound, he says that, using the upper and lower lips, avoiding the hissing sound, Simba Chaitanya Charita. So be careful. If you're not concentrated, generally the tendency is the pronunciation will not be clear. Clear pronunciation helps us to focus easier. It's Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And even when it's clear, you can go fast and hear nicely. But if you're Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, I'm making progress. No, you're not making any progress, you're just degressing. Now, it's not about finishing, it's not about, you know, wow, I chanted my rounds, you know, 5 minutes a round. Look at that, I'm Hari Das Thakur, man. No, it's not like that. It's all about hearing nicely. It's all about hearing. And then Prabhupada taught us, hear. But the mind doesn't want to listen. That's the thing. It's the mind. It's a rascal. The mind has usurped the position of, you know, the soul. It wants to be the king of all personalities. It's the CEO. It's in charge. Therefore, part of learning how to... We'll get to number six. But number four is wherever the mind wanders, bring it back. Bring it back to the one mantra formula. Okay, that's number four. Number five is detachment. Now this is important. When you realize you chanted so many rounds inattentive, don't worry about it. Don't think, oh God, I'm on my tenth round, I haven't heard anything yet. Don't worry. Just start from there. Don't lament about the past and don't think about how you're going to be successful in the future. The mind likes to do that. Just focus on one mantra. Don't worry about what happened in the past or what's going on in the future. Or don't worry about, even if you're hearing nicely, don't think, I'm hearing nicely. As soon as you start thinking, I'm hearing nicely, guess what? You stop hearing nicely. So don't worry about the success that's happening or the failure that has happening. Just focus on one mantra. These first five keys, chant Hare Krishna, listen to one mantra, state your determination, bring the mind back when it wanders, and detachment from apparent success and failure is the five principles that are meant to slow the mind down. Slow it down. Bring it back. There's a story. The story is that there was one Brahmin. He was in the forest. And he was getting sadhya. It was time for Gayatri. So he sat down to do his Gayatri. As soon as he sat down, he started to chant his Gayatri. A young lady was running. She was running real fast. And she ran so fast, she banged into him, crashed into him. She got up, kept going, and just ran away. He was thinking, what is this? This lady, she's just so rude and insensitive. She just ran into me, and she got up and didn't say anything and ran away. So he was kind of like unhappy about that whole thing. So he went back to chanting his mantra. A little later, she came back. And she said, you know, I'm sorry I ran into you. I didn't realize what happened when I did it at the time, but then later I remembered I did that. She said, I went to go see my lover. He was coming, and that's all I could think of him. And I was so much thinking of him that when I ran over you, I didn't even think about it. She said, but I apologize. So what's the story? She was so absorbed in the thought of meeting her lover, she couldn't, nothing else really had any significance. That's not the way how we have to be when we're chanting. That one, that is, nothing else really matters. It's a nice story. So don't be so attached to what's happening. Just focus on that sound. That's all. That's all. Keeps the mind simple. Just focus on that sound. The mind will debate with you. It'll get bored. It'll become really happy. It'll start being critical. It'll start condemning everything and anybody. It'll start demanding attention. And when it doesn't do that, it starts figuring out sneaky ways how to get in, tricking you in different ways. Or it's judgmental. It's so many things. That's the nature of the mind. It's just full of all these things. So just focus on that one mantra. Because that kind of like brings everything else out. Just bring it back to the one mantra. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the fifth canto, in the story of Jud Bart, in one verse, the last verse in the chapter, as he said, Prabhupada's talking about the mind. He's saying, well, there's one easy way to control the mind. Neglect. That's all. That's the answer. One word, neglect. Learn how to neglect it. It doesn't like to be neglected, but we have to do that in order to get it to cooperate. It's like a little kid who's just pulling on its mother's dress, please give me this, I want that, I want this, I want that. And then the mother after a while just neglects it. All right, she goes on with it, she doesn't pay attention. Then the kid goes and does something else, right? So that's the nature of the mind. It's just, I want this, think about this, do that. It always happens when you're chanting, right? Mind's full of all these thoughts. How to defeat it? Bring it back to the one mantra. Just here.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So, it's not about dealing with the mind, it's learning how to not deal with the mind. That's the key. It's not like you can deal with the mind, you can't. It can't, it'll win every time. You have to learn how to not deal with it. That's the idea. We're not this body, and that's true. But we're not the mind also. But that's a little harder to experience, because we function by using our mind. We think, analyze, we discriminate. We use the mind to do whatever we want to do. But Krishna explains that the mind is both your friend and your enemy. He says, not only is your friend and your enemy, he says, your best friend and your best enemy. Your worst enemy and best friend, he says. Why? When it's working in connection with you, the soul, then it's your best friend. When it's not, it's something else. Mm-hmm. Krishna explains that in the sixth chapter. So, learning how to neglect it when it's contrary to bringing us towards Krishna is a formula, and that is always bringing back to the positive. Again, focusing on that one mind. So, detachment from the past, detachment from the future, detachment from the present, just focus on one of the sound. That's all. So what we're doing is slowing our minds down. It's really about slowing down. So, there's more. There's 9 keys. I gave you 5 so far. But I'm going to stop here for questions. Let's see if there's any questions. If not, we can move on. Yes, I can help
you. Sometimes when you're not well, and you're not even thinking of your profit. Suddenly, your jhaka starts from within yourself. What exactly is happening at that time?
You just hear your vyajapa all of a sudden.
Yeah.
That's nice. That's wonderful. When you come to the stage of what we say, remembering Krishna all the time, that's what happens. That's coming from the heart. The heart is expressing. The mind is somewhat peaceful. Because when the mind is not peaceful, even the heart could be, you know, expressing its devotion, but the mind is over somewhere else, you can't hear it. So sometimes you say when you're sick or like that, the mind is somewhat in a, what we say, debilitated state, so it can't do its nonsense anymore.
Is that good?
We don't want to be sick, that's for sure. But when you hear the holy name, then that's good. That's very good, yeah.
So at that time, that's the time you should catch up and add to it, right?
Yeah. Just pray you can keep that all the time.
Even if for a little while you have to rest again, that's fine.
Yeah. You do what you have to do, but practice hearing as much as you can.
What happens if after a while you stop with the name, but the form of the Lord is around? Is that also as japa?
The form? Well, chanting the holy name is a progression. It says that when we chant the holy names, when we start perfecting the chanting, then we experience Krishna in the sound of his name. A little more advances, then we can experience Krishna in his different forms. Higher than that, Krishna's qualities become prominent in the heart and mind. And finally, Krishna's pastimes. So the name leads us to the forms, to the qualities, and to the leelas.
And when you're genuinely ill, and they sometimes want to give you some sort of drugs that kind of are not happy for the body, is it okay to refuse them and still expect to take a little more rest? What would be the better of the two?
Well, you have to judge. You have to see. That takes some advice. That's a practical question. You don't want to... I mean, the acharyas mentioned that there's no other medicine except the holy name. But if you don't realize it, don't practice it. When you realize there's no other medicine but the holy name, then you can practice it in all conditions. But if you haven't realized it, better take your medicine.
Yeah, no, it's not a question of medicine.
You know what I mean? I'll give you an example. Okay, here's a practical example, but it's not about the name, it's about something else. Lord Chaitanya said to Srivas Thakur, "Hey Srivas, you know, you got a big family, and you don't work. How do you maintain yourself?" Srivas went, that was his answer. Lord Chaitanya said, "What does that mean?" Srivas said, "Well, one day if Krishna doesn't feed me, 2 days if he doesn't feed me and the family, 3 days if he doesn't, then I drown myself in the Ganga." Lord Chaitanya roared like a lion. He said, "Srivas, you have understood. Even if Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, has to go out begging with a begging bowl, there'll always be food in your house." He had such faith that simply by worshiping the Lord would take care of everything he needs. Now, when people hear that, they think, "Wow, should I do the same thing?" Only if you have that faith. Otherwise, you better work. But if you have that faith, Krishna will take care of you. If you don't have that faith, then because you don't have that faith, you will think in other ways. But ultimately, the same with the holy name. If you realize the holy name is everything, that's the only medicine you need. But if you don't realize it, that means realize it, not just think about it. Realize it. You have to come to realization. Realization means there's no question. Realization is an experience. It's not just a thought. Then you can act on it. But don't say that Chandramali Swami said to Tom, stop taking your medicine. I didn't say that. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, in his last days, they wanted to bring him to the hospital. He was having heart problems. He said, don't bother, just give me the holy name. So, you know, if you have that faith, if you don't, then that's something else.
Well, the question, Maharaj, is that sometimes the medicines that they give you make you forget the holy name because it puts you into a state of unconsciousness. That's not good.
Yeah, get a different medicine then.
Exactly, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Tell the doctor you can get another patient. Yes, Mataji.
Could you share a little bit of your experience with key number three?
State your determination.
And your question, you said, why am I chanting? What has your experience been like that?
We want to meet Krishna. Trying to meet Krishna in the name, that's one way. Why am I chanting? Because I have to chant. Chanting because it's my duty to chant. Chanting because I want to, you can come up with different reasons why you want to chant. Some people chant in order to, improve their material life. But the real reason we want to chant are the reason for chanting is to purify the heart and to meet Krishna through the sound of his name. So in order to do that, we have to slow down and hear nicely. Yeah. So state your determination. Also, when you chant, when you begin your chanting, also you should think, I'm going to stay here so much. It's not like when my mind gets restless, I quit. I'm going to sit down or I'm going to stay chanting for this much time, no matter how difficult it is. Then it's a battle between you and the mind. Although if you just give in to the mind when it gets a little tired or restless, then it'll be like that every day. The mind will just win. You just have to say, you state your determination, and then you stick with it. Prabhupada, someone asked Prabhupada, what's the difference between, Prabhupada was talking about determination. So someone asked Prabhupada, what happens if we have no determination in our devotional life? Prabhupada said, then you're an animal. That was the answer. That means an animal, he was saying, he wasn't just calling people names. An animal, if it's walking along or going along, you break a stick, it runs the other way, make a noise. In other words, animals are easily distracted. But a human being shouldn't be distracted from its goal. It should be able to focus.
That would hurt.
This is a little surgery going on here. But it only hurts it a little while. Another question, yes?
Tell me if I understood. It's better to chant five rounds with hearing it and having it in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, than to chant 16 rounds as a robot and not paying attention.
Yeah,
not
ultimately, yeah. But if you can chant more than five, it's
sure,
awesome.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. The chanting means hearing. It's not inattention is an offense. It's an offense. You actually are creating offenses when you chant inattentively, which causes you to commit other offenses, such as, now the 10 offenses are easily, what we say, followed by attentive chanting. When you're chanting inattentively, then you have a hard time following the other, or avoiding the other offenses. Yeah. So quality Quantity brings quality. This is important to understand. That's why we chant more, so we can help bring about the quality of our chanting. But ultimately, we want quality, not quantity. But when you're chanting with quality, then you don't think in terms of numbers. You just think, let me just keep chanting. Unless you're happy, you're experiencing Krishna through the name. So Prabhupada made a very interesting statement in this regard. He said, when you're actually chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you'll start to think, why 16 rounds? Why not 16,000 rounds? That means you don't want to stop. It's like now, some places, I think maybe some of you have gone to the Japa retreats. Any of it? Yeah. When you start chanting, like the Japa retreats, they have 64 round days. And some of them have a week of sessions and then two days of 64 rounds. So when you're chanting 64 rounds, when you're getting up to the higher numbers, you're starting to think, hey, now I understand what chanting is about. And then you don't want to stop. And that was my experience. You just get to 64 and you think, let me chant more. 80, 90, 100. But when you're chanting, sometimes you think, I got to chant 16 rounds. Oh my God, so many. But when you get over this 16-round mentality and just start chanting more and more, the name starts to become sweeter. And we start really developing attraction for chanting. That's why tomorrow is 32 rounds, so hopefully we'll, in trying to chant 32 rounds, we'll get a taste for chanting. This is me only. I think japa begins on the 17th round. That's as far as I can see. You're going to say that?
I heard somebody tell me that.
Yeah, that means you don't have to do 17. The 16 you do have to do if you take an initiation. So then, when it becomes something less than or something other than a requirement, then you're chanting.
One round, 108 beads?
Yeah. No, one round is 108 beads. But it's how many names?
16, I don't know.
It's 27,000 some names for 16 rounds, so divide that by 16. So 16. It's 100 and some names. A thousand and some names, maybe. Yeah. One round. Yeah, 108 times 16, right? That's it. Yes, Prabhu.
My reminder over here. It's taking notes, so. One question, and possibly two time permits. One is, you said that when falling asleep during japa, one should take rest. But what if I'm talking about a brahmachari. What if a brahmachari, by following this formula, ends up sleeping every day during the japa period, and then chanting his rounds at some other time?
Well, the formula is not to counteract sleep with giving up your japa. The formula is to be awake when you chant. So the idea, if you think, well, I have to give up my japa period because I'm sleeping, then don't let me be sleeping. Let me be rested when it's time for chanting. That should be the understanding. Right? So we're not really conceding to someone's sleepiness by saying, okay, take rest. The idea is, you know, be rested. Try to get enough rest. And if you're a little sleepy, then you can walk around or move around, do a few tricks to keep awake. But when it comes to the point where you just can't chant, then
the reason why I ask that is when someone's new to Krishna consciousness, and we often get someone like that who's new to Krishna consciousness and moves into the ashram, and that person does not have that understanding of chanting. And like, I remember several guys we had like that. Like one was particularly vocal about it. He says, no, you should be like water, you know. Water never goes against the rock, it just like flows around it, you know. So if you feel sleepy, don't fight it, you just sleep, you know. If your mind doesn't want to chant, don't fight it, you know. Just don't chant like that. But such a, and often they experience that in the morning during the japa period, when it's supposed to be the best possible time to chant, they feel sleepy, but they don't feel sleepy in the evening, some or other. You know, they get very energized.
They're not so tired when they take the shot. No, it's just the mind doesn't want to surrender. So, well, that's another one of its tricks. Get sleepy. It's a symptom of being bored. This morning, you know, when I sat down, I started the chant, my mind was tired. It was getting sleepy. So I got up and started walking around. And then I started to hear better. And then later on, I was able to sit down without any sleepiness. But it took me, you know, a little time to just to push the mind forward out of that sleepy state. So, you know, sometimes you just have to push. Like that.
Can I ask the other question?
Did that answer you?
Yes.
Yeah. The answer is, don't be sleepy. Unless, if it's a regular thing, then you should work on it. It happens once in a while. You can just deal with it at the time. But if you're falling asleep every day, then just you need to do something different. Maybe eat less. Because if you eat too much, you don't rest well. And if you don't rest well, then when it comes to chanting japa, you can't hear myself. Yes.
I don't know, you might cover this later on, but I was wondering about, like, when we're chanting, I notice sometimes when I'm chanting, it's like I'm not breathing, you know, like.
Yeah, breathing
like,
well?
Yeah, or like I'm trying to, like, you know, try and chant, but then, like, should you, like, stop and, like, take deep breaths? Or like,
you're very conscious of your breathing while you're chanting. And that's why you're doing that. Just chant. Your breathing will happen naturally. If you start thinking about your breathing while you're chanting, then you'll start to be conscious of chanting. You'll start to be thinking how to breathe and how to chant.
Right. Yeah, I noticed that. It's
yeah. Question?
I was just thinking about what you said about round 17, the devotion at the beginning. It makes sense because I remember that purport in the Bhagavatam where Srila Prabhupada says that bhakti rests on free will. Mm. I mean, and that's really the beauty of it is, you know, when you willingly do something, not, you know, like Prabhupada here is saying robotically, but it's like, it's when you actually is like, yes, I want to chant Krishna's name, you know, then it's, you know, obviously, like, I know in my experience when I've done that, then I've had the greatest reciprocation.
Right.
And even on the day where I was like completely, utterly tired, falling asleep, but then just deciding, like you said, making that intention, like, why am I chanting? Why am I here in the temple? Like, why am I doing all this? Obviously, I'm here for a reason and just like reconnecting with that purpose.
Right.
And then just deciding, like, yeah, I want to chant your name, Krishna. And then just immediately having so much energy and like being awake.
Yeah, you're accessing Krishna's mercy. That these are the later keys. The last two keys are complete dependence on Krishna. Because even with all the nice formulas we have, without depending on Krishna, your japa will develop perfectly. Ultimately, Krishna, when Krishna is pleased, he comes. But if you do all these other things, this helps access attention. The attention shows you're interested. That's what it's all about, paying attention to Krishna. That's what we haven't been doing for the last so many million lifetimes. So now we have to try to change that. Yeah.
Also kind of a question too. Like one thing I've noticed also in my experience is I think sometimes, you know, we become frustrated for chanting because we kind of like expect the reciprocation. Like, all right, I'm chanting Krishna, like, where is the reciprocation? So it's kind of like we place a demand on Krishna. But would you say that surrender is when you just completely, willingly put all your attention on Krishna without any expectation of reciprocation?
Yeah, Sanatana Goswami gives a 6-point formula for chanting japa. And one of them is patience. He says, just be patient, Krishna. You know, don't try to access, you know, Krishna's presence. You should be eager, but not demanding. Or become, what we say, unhappy or impatient when it doesn't come in within your judgment, your preconceived understanding that Krishna should be here right now. He may come, but when he comes on his own time. So be patient. Just be satisfied with this, just with hearing nicely. Krishna's name is so powerful. When you're hearing nicely, you're actually experiencing something. And when you're hearing nicely, you don't have to do much more than that. Just hear nicely. Yes.
So obviously we have to hear from somebody who has experience of Krishna in order to be inspired to hear nicely.
Yeah. We hear from the books, we hear from the classes. Yeah. That's why we discuss all these things, to get inspired. Take up Krishna consciousness. Thank you. Is there another question?
Yes. You recommended us to feel helpless as one of the good, healthy attitudes during for chanting japa, feeling helpless. So I guess that feeling would then carry on even after we're done with chanting japa, feeling helpless. How does that go with... here we are in Southern California. This is the mecca of self-esteem movement.
Yeah. You have a problem here. How does it go? It's just your position to be helpless. When we realize that's our position, then we'll try to become helpless. Because we are helpless. The false ego says you're not. You're intelligent, you're talented, you're this, you're that, you're this, you're that.
Because people here are taught, and lots of people understand that unless they have...
Yeah, you're number one.
A good amount of self-esteem. It doesn't have to be overbloated, but a good amount of self-esteem, they just become depressed and self-destructive and despondent. And
yeah.
Dejected.
But they don't know who the self is, so what's the question of esteem? Think the self is the body of the mind, then that's the wrong sense of self. So you're putting your faith in the body and the mind. We're putting our faith in Krishna. We know that if we serve Krishna nicely, or pray to Krishna, or do whatever Krishna is asking us through the spiritual master, that's our success. We depend on Krishna. We depend on his mercy. We depend on the mercy of Krishna coming through his different outlets, his devotees, his prasadam, his books, his spiritual master. We're dependent. You use your intelligence, but even your intelligence is a feature of Krishna's mercy. Because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, what's the last line in that verse?
Ability in man.
Yeah. I am the ability in all living beings. From me comes Sarvasyacham Vridhisadivastam Matasmita. From me comes knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. If Krishna wants you to forget, there's nothing you can do. If Krishna wants you to remember, you'll remember. So ultimately, we use our intelligence. Krishna gives us our intelligence, but still, ultimately, he's in control. That's why we're dependent. That's why we should be dependent. And Krishna likes that. He likes us to become dependent because he knows that's our position. Depend on him, depend on his mercy and everything. Not only in japa, but everything. You may somehow get around that by doing something, but it doesn't last. If you do something outside of Krishna consciousness, using your crafty intelligence, and you get some result, you're thinking, just see. But then again, that result doesn't build your Krishna consciousness, it just takes it away. Because it's not given by the process of devotional service. Doesn't stand the test of time, in other words. Yes? Oh. You're praying that I end the class now? No.
Praying it for longer, but RT is in 3 minutes.
3 minutes? Okay. Very good. Any last points?
Come again, Maharaj, soon.
I'll be here this afternoon. Guaranteed. Unless I don't make it too much, but I'll be here. Okay, thank you very much. Sri Prabhupada
Ki Jai.
Next class is at 4?
Next class is 4 to 5:30. 4 p.m.
What's happening between now and then?
We'll have the kirtan now, do an arti and kirtan, and then after which we'll serve lunch. Mm-hmm. And then there's a little break from after lunch till 4.
Tim is really good.
Yeah.